Good to be here, okay? Much better than our fellow elders and pastor who are no doubt sat on a sandy beach enjoying the sun in Turkey. Actually, it's snowing in Turkey. Hey, who cheered? Yeah, so great to be here to worship God and to hear from his word as well. Okay, and our topic this morning, part of our series on giving into the body of Christ, is that we're called to love and to serve. Have you ever been stuck? Most times it's not good to get stuck when you can't go on or you can't do it or you feel in danger, maybe a task, maybe a situation. If it's a task, do you have a too difficult box? Okay, just give it up for another day. Jane will probably tell you what's in my too difficult box. Things I just keep putting off. In life, you can get stuck in a rut. You can get stuck on the road. Okay? Probably happened to most of us. I once remember getting stuck on a tiny road in the Welsh mountains, with the evening light disappearing, the temperature dropping, and no mobile phone reception. Horror of horrors. As I turned the corner on this road, didn't see a rock jutting out from the edge of the road, and the rock put a massive slit in the rear tyre, and we veered off the road. Not good, but no problem. We weren't dangling over the edge of a cliff, and I had a spare. It's great having a spare, but when you can't get the cover off the locking wheel nut, not so great. I looked everywhere for the toolkit. Oh dear, it's missing. Not only is it missing, but the light's gone. Only one thing to do, in the distance is a speck of light about a mile away. They'll have a phone. We'll have to walk. Don't know what we'll have to cross on the way or who we'll find. But it's the only option. Can't just sit here. Well, actually, the story does end well. Anna, our daughter, suddenly found this tiny toolkit in a little used seat pouch. Oh, for a good memory. And that was many years ago as well. Some stuck can be good. Getting stuck into a task or a good film or a good book. And for a while now, I've been stuck into a very good book. It's called the Book of Ephesians. And this is one of the most fantastic letters of Paul, and one from which our verse for the year comes. Anyone memorized it yet? I'll ask you that question later. Okay, it's on the cards that you've got, and it's food to digest for the soul and to take action on. As we're into our series on giving, that is giving into the church, I'd like to bring three things this morning from the book of Ephesians, if we can have our next overhead and get rid of all that traffic stuff. First, we're called as God's people to love and to serve. And the question is, what are you called to? What is the hope of your calling? And that was one of Paul's prayers for the Ephesians church in Ephesians 1, verse 18. Secondly, we need that spirit of wisdom and revelation when we ask God our key questions. What are you saying to me, Lord? And what am I doing about it? And thirdly, as we realize our calling and serve God faithfully, we will see his glory in the church. And we know that from our verse for the year in Ephesians 3:20. As God's people, we're being prepared for works of service so that the whole body is built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and so that we become mature, as the Bible says, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I wonder if our readers could just come up. We've got our drama team to help us with some readings from Ephesians. So if they could come up. Before we read, let's first of all just look at the background to the church in Ephesus. Many miracles were seen, and the power of the Holy Spirit was so dramatically evident. And we read in Acts 19, verse 17, that the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. This was an outstanding church, despite being in a place which was the world center of the occult. We think we live in a tough world. You go to Ephesus when Paul was there, the world center of the occult. No wonder there was a spiritual clash that resulted in riots in Ephesus. And no wonder Paul gave his wonderful exposition on spiritual warfare in chapter 6 when confronted by such darkness. This letter has been described as truth that sings and doctrine set to music. It's packed full of mighty prayers and mighty verses. So let's just sit back and listen to some of those verses on our whistle-stop tour of Ephesians.
In order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength.
For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves, but it is a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And in him, you two are being built together to become the dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen.
And make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It was he who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not let the devil have a foothold. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
Applause, don't you? And we should give a round of applause to God because it is his word. Powerful, powerful verses packed into such a short letter. You know, there's so much more when you read the whole letter. Go and read it to yourself. It's a letter split into two parts, with actually our verse for the year sandwiched between the two. Chapters 1 to 3 is doctrine. Chapters 4 to 6 is the practical application of the doctrine. The first part, in light of all you have, and in light of all you are in Christ, in the light of all that's been done for you and the power given to you with the Holy Spirit living within you, this is how you should live. And that's the second part. Chapter 4, walk in unity. Chapter 5, walk in purity. Chapter 5 and half of chapter 6, walk in harmony. And the last part of chapter 6, walk in victory. Enter into spiritual warfare. Claim some territory for Jesus Christ, just as Nikki was talking about earlier, how she's claiming territory for Jesus, and that's what we each need to do. It's all about our Christian walk being in response to the love of God, the love that God has shown to each one of us. It's not something we do to earn his love. From the moment we become a Christian, he has given us all we need. He has given us the resources through his Holy Spirit to overcome sin, to live a victorious life, to confront darkness in this world, to serve one another, to encourage one another, to be the light of Jesus in this dark world. It's all about walking by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. Jeff Lucas, who's a great columnist, he's a pastor in America, but he's English, translates walking in the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, he translates it as walking along with God. As Christians, we walk along with God. He's our Father, he leads us, just as a father holds the children's hand and leads them on. So God holds our hand, and we walk along with God. And how great is this, that we can walk along in life with Almighty God. Do this, and your life will go well. Not necessarily easy, but well. Well, I could get carried away on the book of Ephesians. Please go and read it for yourself. But getting back to our three key points. First of all, we are called to love and we are called to serve. What is the hope of our calling as individual Christians, which we read about in Ephesians 1, verse 18? John Stott says in his commentary, "The call of God takes us back to the very beginning of our Christian lives. Those who he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified." It's true we called on him to save us, but our call was in response to his Spirit's prompting on our heart. Maybe this morning the Holy Spirit is just speaking to you, prompting you, challenging you about your response to the love of Jesus. The question now is, what did God call us for? His call was not a random or a purposeless thing. He had some object in view when he called us. He called us to something and for something. And it is this that is meant by the hope of our calling in Ephesians 1 verse 17 and also repeated in Ephesians 4 verse 4, the hope of your call. The rest of the New Testament tells us it is a rich and varied expectation for all Christians. God has called us to belong to Jesus Christ and into fellowship with Jesus. He has called us saints. He has called us to a holy calling. And he says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And one of the characteristics of a holy people or a special people is liberation from judgment of God's law. For we are called to freedom in Christ. Another characteristic is a harmonious fellowship across the barriers of race and class. For we were called into one body to enjoy the peace of Christ. We are called to bear with one another, to love one another. Another characteristic is to serve God and to serve one another so that the world will notice and come and have a look at what this thing is. Again, something that Nikki mentioned about. However, as we enjoy this peace and unity as a body and people take note, we're bound to experience opposition in this unbelieving world. Just look at this Ephesians church and Paul's experience. Uproar in the city, riots in this occultic place. Yet we are not to retaliate, for God has called us to his own kingdom and to his glory. And all this was in God's mind when he called us. More simply put, it was a call to an altogether new life in which we know, love, and serve Christ, enjoy fellowship with him and with each other, and look beyond our present suffering to the glory that was revealed. This is the hope that he has called you and he has called me to. And Paul prays that the eyes of our heart may be opened to know this. And pray that if you don't know that, he will open your eyes even today to know how great and high and wide and long is the love of Christ that he has for you, and how great is the life that you can enjoy with him. As I said before, not necessarily an easy life, but a great life and a life that will go well. Bill Johnson, pastor of an amazing church in the US, where God is doing mighty things, tells his people often, and he repeats this, it is illegal to enjoy the presence of the Lord and not go out and conquer something. What a great statement. It's illegal to enjoy the presence of the Lord and not go out and conquer something. Something is expected from us when God is revealed to us. It's a grave mistake to think that the Holy Spirit is among us simply to comfort and to encourage. That is given. That is what he does. But he's also present to make the impossible possible. To make that impossible task possible. And perhaps this is part of what Paul wanted us to see when he asked God to show us the hope of his calling in Ephesians chapter 1. When God is with you and with me, we're expected and enabled to invade the impossible. This is part of our hope. Carl Beach, head of CVM, challenges us to go out and win campaign medals and take some territory for Jesus. That is the hope of our calling. It's all about Jesus. Secondly, we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And Paul prays for this for the Ephesians church in Ephesians 1 verse 17. And we've talked about the two key questions. What are you saying to me, Lord? And what am I going to do about it? And this is our second point this morning. All of us crave wisdom and revelation. Each of us long for instruction and insight in knowing how we should walk, what we should do, where we should go. But notice what Paul tells us. It is profoundly simple and simply profound, for he says that the wisdom and revelation we so desperately desire is found solely in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, Peter and John found this when they addressed the rulers and elders of the law and their high priest. The single explanation for their ability to boldly and intelligently address the multitude of learned people was the acknowledgement that they had been with Jesus, Acts 4, verse 13. When people ask, what should I do? Where should I serve? The answer is very simple. The wisdom you need, the revelation you need, is found in knowing Jesus. How do we know Jesus? By spending time with him. Read the Gospels. Go to the book of Mark or Luke or John. A real key to understanding God's will for your life is to continually focus on Jesus. Just as Jesus said on the road to Emmaus, all scripture points to me. If you're spending time with him, all will become clear. I read a story about a man called Dr. Paul Brand, who was visiting a leprosy colony near Madras. And he was being shown round by a man called Dr. Cochrane. And as they were being shown round the hospital, there were patients who were squatting, stumping along on bandaged feet with their unseeing, deformed faces. And Dr. Brand said this, "Hands waved at me, stretching out in greeting. They were twisted, gnarled, ulcerated stumps. Some were stiff like metal claws, some missing fingers. Some hands were missing altogether. Finally, I could restrain myself no longer." "How did they get this way? What do you do about them?" Dr. Cochrane said he didn't know. He said he was a skin man. He could only treat that part of the leprosy. And he turned to me and said, "You're the bone man. You're the orthopedic surgeon." And he went on to tell me that not one orthopedic surgeon had yet studied the deformities of 15 million leprosy victims around the world. As they were passing, a young person who had leprosy put out his hand, and Dr. Paul Brand said, "Squeeze my hand as hard as you can." To my amazement, he says, instead of a weak twitch I expected, I felt this sharp and intense pain race through my palm. His grip was like a vice, his fingers digging into my flesh like steel talons. He showed no paralysis. In fact, I cried out to let go. I looked up angrily, but was disarmed by the gentle smile on his face. He didn't know he was hurting me. That was the clue. Somewhere in that severely deformed hand were powerfully good muscles. I felt a tingling, as if the whole universe was revolving around me. I knew I'd arrived in my place. That single incident changed my life. It was the moment I felt a call of the Spirit of God. I was made for that one moment, and I knew that I would have a point to my life. I would have a new direction, and I never doubted it. Dr. Paul Brand went on to a brilliant pioneering research into the disease of leprosy, and he became a world-renowned surgeon, receiving CBE and many prestigious awards. And Ephesians 2:20, which we had read so wonderfully for us, says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do." This is for each one of us, folks. It's not just for a specialist out in India. This word is for each one of us. God has prepared good works in advance for each one of us to do. No exceptions. Now, back to our two verses in chapter 1. And Paul the Apostle, in those two verses, 17 and 18, brings three great truths which he wants his readers to know, both in mind and in experience through the Holy Spirit. And these concern God's call, our inheritance, and his power. And he prays that we may know the hope of God's call, the glory, indeed the riches of God's glory, of his inheritance, and the greatness, indeed the immeasurable greatness, of his power. And this leads to our third point, that we follow our calling and serve God faithfully, we will see his power and his glory in the church. Remember our verse for the year? Have you memorized it? Please do memorize it and use it and believe it. Okay. God is a wonderful God, and he can do immeasurably more than we ask. It actually says that all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us. To him be glory in the church. The church is here to show the glory of God. We get it wrong, you know, when we say we go to church. We don't actually go to church. We are church. So we can't say we're going to ourselves. So we've like given the wrong message to the world when we say go to church. Because we are church. The church is to show the glory of God. As a little aside, if we look back at Ephesians 3 verse 10, it says, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm according to his eternal purposes. The church is the vehicle of the revealed mystery of cosmic salvation through Christ to the principalities and powers, to the powers of darkness. We are to make known the glory of Christ. And it sounds death knell to those principalities and those powers of darkness. That is who the church is, what the church is. What an astounding thing. And one major lesson of Ephesians 3 is the biblical centrality of the church. There are so many misconceptions about church. Remember, the church is the people. Some construct a Christianity which consists entirely of a personal relationship with Jesus and has nothing to do with the church. You can't be a Christian and not go to church because you are the church as you meet together with God's people. Others make grudging concessions about church as a vehicle for membership. But God has made the church central to his plan. Be careful how you speak about the church. The church is central to history, central to the gospel, central to Christian living. That's why we're told to love one another, encourage one another, serve one another, build one another up. It's interesting, Jean was given a college assignment to research the church, history of our church, and this jogged my memory a bit. We started with 15 people as a plant from McGull Baptist Church. John and Linda joined within a couple of years, with John as a pastor in training. He was ordained in 1995, nearly 20 years ago. We became independent church in 1998, and in 2008, after many ups and downs, we gained our own premises. As I stand here and look out, I can see that God does more than all we can ask or imagine. I do see his glory in the church. I was going to ask you to turn to the person next to you and say, "You're a beautiful person," but then I thought, well, it's Valentine's Day, that might be a bit misconstrued. But we're beautiful people. Okay, in God's eyes, we're beautiful people. And we see and experience his glory as we worship him. In the children, as they come up to the front, just look at the joy and the simplicity of their lives, the joy on their faces. How that must delight Jesus. When we meet to praise him, when we pray together, in the cafe team, when they serve the community, in the mums and tots and the conversations with the parents, in those who have been saved, in the baptismal service a few weeks ago, in the sailors who come to Liverpool and meet Dave and his team sharing the gospel, in the response of the Belarus children as they come over here, in the food parcels that are given out to the children in the mountain villages in Romania through John Ashcroft's help. We see the glory of God in every act of kindness. God is glorified. That is why we are called and why we serve, so that we're all built up together and so that the world will see who Jesus is. We've done much through God's help, but there is much, much more to do. We've only really just started. Do we want to mirror the New Testament church? Just go home. If the answer is yes, go home. Have a look at Acts chapter 2. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Same God, same Holy Spirit. There will be challenges ahead, but we have a God who does immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So finally, in conclusion, we're called to love and we're called to serve. Let us love God, love one another, and serve. Let us ask God what he wants us to do and go out and do it. Let us seek for Holy Spirit wisdom and revelation. And may we see his power and his glory in this church and beyond as we go outside to our places of work. Don't get stuck. Just get serving. And if you're already serving, just keep going. Persevere. And praise God. May we see more of his glory, much, much more of his glory in this place. Amen. Now, if anyone would like prayer afterwards, if they feel they're stuck in their Christian lives, if they want guidance, if they want prayer, maybe whoever's in our prayer ministry team could just hang around at the end. But just come forward at the end for prayer while people are going for their coffee. Just come and ask for prayer and we'll gladly pray with you. Thank you.